Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Let's say we were to take a microphone out into the street and stop the passersby and ask this question. What is the most important thing in life? I bet we'd get something like, well, to be happy, or to have your health, or to have a good family, or to be financially prosperous. Those are wrong answers. What is the right answer? And the man said to Jesus, Master, what is the most important commandment? And Jesus said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the most important thing in life. I'm guessing we wouldn't get a lot of that by the man on the street, maybe. But here's what I want to ask today. Why don't people know the answer to that question? What's going on? Would you take out your Bible, turn with me to Mark chapter 12, and let's look at the most important thing in life today. Let's pray. Father, we pray for each one of us, Christians and non-Christians. We can get so drawn into the trivial and we forget, we major in the minor instead of the major. Lord, speak to us now about the most important thing in life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 12, starting at verse 18. And Sadducees came to Jesus who say there is no resurrection. Now let me explain who the Sadducees were. There were two kinds of Jewish leaders in Jesus' time. The Sadducees. They didn't believe in the resurrection of the body. They didn't believe in the afterlife. They didn't believe in angels. So they were Sadducee. And the second group of Jewish leaders were the Pharisees. They believed in angels, the resurrection of the dead, and the life everlasting. So they were Pharisee. That's the way to remember them. But Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection, and they're going to try to now stick it to Jesus here. Look at verse 18. And they asked him a question, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife and leaves no child, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. There were seven brothers. The first took a wife, and when he died, left no offspring. And the second took her and died, leaving no offspring. And the third likewise. And the seventh left no offspring. Last of all, the woman died. In the resurrection, which they don't believe in, when they rise again, whose wife will she be? For the seven had her as wife. Jesus said to them, Is this not the reason you are wrong? Because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. Here's the first lesson today. The reason people are wrong is because they don't know the scriptures. When people give you the wrong reason for the most important thing in life, it's because they don't know the scriptures. And sadly, a lot of people don't want to know the scriptures. There was a missionary in China. He gave a New Testament to a Chinaman. A few days later, the Chinaman knocks on the, here, you take this back. I don't want that book. I don't like that book. You keep that book. And the missionary says, this is God's word. What's wrong? Every time I read that book, it kicked me. See, the reason people are wrong is they don't know scripture, and a lot of them don't want to know scripture. For instance, I'm glad Oprah Winfrey is not on TV much anymore because she used to teach that there are many roads that lead to God. Why? Because she doesn't know the scripture. Jesus said in John 14:6, He's the only road to heaven. A lot of people believe today that sex outside of marriage is fine as long as you really love each other. Why do they believe that? Why do they? Because they don't know the scripture. 1 Corinthians 6 says fornicators don't go to heaven. So my point is, if you're wrong about something, it's normally because you don't know the scripture. So everybody, read your Bible every day. Get into a good Bible preaching church. Listen to Christian radio. Pray and just seek the Lord. This is how you will know the truth. But another reason people don't know the scripture is in verse 24. It says, people are wrong because they know not the power of God. When somebody says, well, a homosexual is born that way and not even God can change him, they say that because they don't know the power of God. I interviewed a man who was heavily into homosexuality for years, gets converted, comes out of it, has been celibate for years. And he said, you know, I still get tempted, but by the grace of God, I'm walking in purity now. That's the power of God. Sometimes people say, well, Pastor, I can't tithe. I can't generously give to missions or the church because I can't do it. Well, they don't know the power of God. I've heard a number of stories of people saying, oh, I just started tithing, and it just started coming in. So Jesus is teaching, if you're wrong, it's normally one of two reasons. Either you don't know the Bible or you don't know the power of God. Look at verse 25. Jesus said to the Sadducees, for when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. Here's the next lesson. In heaven, we are like angels, meaning we'll be single. Now notice, it doesn't say in this verse that when you die, you become an angel. People think you die, become an angel, lay on a cloud and strum a harp. The Bible teaches none of that. It says we'll be like angels in one aspect, that we'll be single. And why is it we'll be single in heaven? Well, because we don't need to repopulate heaven because everybody up there lives forever. On earth, we need marriage. We need children because people die off. But in heaven, you're in heaven for eternity. And a question we get fairly often is, will I know my loved ones in heaven? Well, I know there's grandma and there's my spouse. I think you will because Jesus said, you will see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And if I'm going to say, look, there's Abraham, who I've never seen, I think I'll know, look, there's grandma. But my point is, you won't be married to your spouse in heaven. And one more thing on this. Sometimes you hear somebody say, oh, I can't wait to get to heaven to see my husband again, or to see my mother, etc. And, you know, no offense, but they don't quite get it. The big deal of heaven is not that you're going to see your husband. It's going to be you in the eternal presence of the awesome Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the big deal of heaven. I had a lady write me once. The question was asked, well, will I see my dog in heaven? And I responded that I don't know a clear verse on that, but I'm guessing not because I don't know that animals have eternal souls like humans do, but so I don't think so. But some woman wrote, I'm never watching your show again because you said my dog won't be in heaven. Okay. Well, there you go. Next verse, verse 26. Jesus again speaking to the Sadducees. And as for the dead being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses and the passage about the bush, the burning bush, how God spoke to Moses saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not God of the dead, but of the living. You, Sadducees, are quite wrong. In other words, Sadducees, you not believing in the resurrection, you're wrong. So here's the next lesson. Jesus corrected error by quoting the Bible. Jesus is quoting the Sadducees, who are supposed to believe in the Old Testament, he's quoting it at them to show there will be a resurrection of the dead. So, if somebody is a Christian and they give a weird off belief, lovingly, humbly say, you know, the Bible says differently. And do what Jesus did, lovingly, humbly, support people to get into the right lane by quoting the scripture. Many, many years ago, there was the Merv Griffin show, talk show. Pat and Shirley Boone, Christian people, she now has died, but he's still alive, were on the Merv Griffin show. And Merv Griffin says, what about reincarnation? You die a few times, keep coming back to earth. And Shirley Boone said, well, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto man to die once, and after that comes judgment. So there is no reincarnation. So what she was doing was using Scripture to correct. And I'm glad she did, because I knew, as I was a young Christian when that was going on, I knew I didn't believe in reincarnation, but I didn't have a verse. Now I got a verse, Hebrews 9, 27. And here's my point. Christians, we should quote the Bible to each other, talk to each other, and correct each other. A lady called, and she says, Pastor Brock, when it says in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, does that mean the Word, the Bible, was in the beginning, and that the Bible is God? And I said, no, there's two different meanings for Word of God. Sometimes Word of God means the Bible in Scripture. Sometimes it's talking about the living Word of God, Jesus Christ. So no, the Bible is not in the beginning, but Jesus is God in the beginning with the Father. And she said, oh, I never understood that. Thank you for correcting me. And see, we need to do that. That's why all of us should be in a good Bible-preaching church. So where we are off, we're able to correct each other. And I get this from Colossians chapter 3, quote, let the word of God dwell in you richly. How? Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to the Lord. So make sure you're in a good church. Verse 28. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that Jesus answered them well, asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Here's the next lesson. Christians believe in one God. Muslims think we believe in three gods. We don't. We believe in one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And I know people say, yeah, but that's so confusing. I know it's confusing. But that kind of helps me believe it. If your view of God makes perfect human sense, I'm going to believe that somebody dreamed it up. But the fact that the Trinity is so mind-boggling helps me believe it. And who says God's supposed to be easy to understand? Verse 30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Here's the next lesson. The most important thing in life is to love God. If somebody puts a microphone in your face as you're walking down the street, what's the most important thing? The most important thing in my life is to love the Lord my God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's the right answer. Now, let's admit, we don't do that very well. Many, many years ago, I asked my mom, she was alive back then, and Mom, do you believe we're going to heaven? Yes. Why? Because I love God. I don't think that's the right answer. My weak, sinful love for God doesn't get me into heaven. What gets me into heaven is God's great love for me on the cross. That's what saves me. So yes, my goal in life is to love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And that's my desire. I don't do that perfectly this side of heaven. Verse 31. And the second commandment, greatest commandment, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Here's the next lesson. The second greatest thing in life is to love my neighbor as myself. Now again, that's my goal. And by the grace of God, I want to love my neighbor as myself. I don't do that very well some days. In fact, I remember I was sitting across from a youth director once talking, and I noticed he had a sign on his desk, God loves you, and I'm trying. If you've ever been a church youth director, you understand that sign. But so, you know what we need to do? When we wake up, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me love you today, because I admit I don't love you with all my heart. God, help me love others today, because the most important thing in life is to love God and your neighbor as yourself. Verse 32. And the scribe said to him, you are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other beside him. And to love him with all the heart and all the understanding and with all the strength, to love one's neighbor as oneself, is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Here's the last lesson. When you listen to Jesus, you are close to the kingdom of God. When you listen to the media, you are far from the kingdom of God. So let me ask you this question. This last week, ask yourself this. Did you listen to Jesus this week? Did you read your Bible this week? Maybe did you listen to Christian radio? Did you talk with some Christian friends? Did you pray with anybody? Were you in church this week? If you listen to Jesus a lot, you're close to God's kingdom. If you listen to the media and your unbelieving friends a lot, you'll be far from the kingdom of God. I have been convicted this week and always that I'm watching too much TV. What I need to do is what I do now and then. You take the TV guide and you get out a yellow marker and you underline only the shows you're going to watch that week. Because if I don't, I can just become a zombie watching. It's called, I learned this in college, narcotic dysfunction. That TV is kind of a narcotic, and no matter what's on, I just kind of sit and watch it. Let's not do that. Let's not listen to the media or TV. Let's spend our time with Jesus. Do that every day. Spend time with Jesus every day by praying, reading your Bible. You know, somebody said to me, Pastor Brock, did you see that show this week by National Geographic that they found the Gospel of Thomas, and it talks about Jesus kissing Mary Magdalene? I said, that's the National Geographic. That's ABC television. Their job is to confuse you. There have been heretical gospels for many, many years. You need to get to the New Testament and don't be duped by the media. Well, my last plea is, everybody, the most important thing in life is not your health. It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart. How do I do that? Let's turn off the TV. Let's be careful what we watch. Read your Bible regularly. Get into a good Bible preaching church, because the closer you are to listening to Jesus, the closer you are to the kingdom of God. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study, where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today, are there certain Bible versions I should read? Are there certain some that I should stay away from?
Yeah, we get this question periodically, and my favorite Bible versions are the ESV, the English Standard Version, especially the ESV Study Bible. That's worth every penny. The ESV Study Bible. Another very good Bible is the New American Standard Bible, and you can get the NASB Study Bible. Both of those are good. But the reason those are good is they're very literal in translating the Old Testament Hebrew and the New Testament Greek. So those are my favorite. Other ones are fine. New International Version and King James, they're fine. But the most literal are those two. So those are the ones I like. I don't like the Living Bible. It just takes all kinds of liberties to make things easy. Well, it's kind of way too much. So I'd stay away from the Living Bible. Maybe for kids, but even that, you got other versions for kids. So there you go.
Do you like the King James?
It's fine, but it's hard to understand because of the old, mm-hmm. Elizabethan English. Mm-hmm. So I personally don't use that hardly ever. But, people love the beauty of old English, and that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's the one I use.
Okay.
Is it true that Martin Luther said at one point that he hated God?
I think he did, but you got to put that in context. When Martin Luther was struggling under the law, mm-hmm. trying to earn God's salvation, he got mad at God because he knew he couldn't do it. And I think at one point he said, I hated God. And when he came to understand grace, he was reading the book of Romans. Mm-hmm. He came to understand we're not saved by earning it or being good enough, because you never can be. Mm-hmm. It's only by what Christ did on the cross, grace. He said, quote, I felt like I went through open doors into paradise, and I felt myself to be born again. So there you go. Although, Mona, I think it's proper to say, even though I'm saved and I love God, mm-hmm. there's part of me that hates God. Mm-hmm. My evil human nature that we all inherited from Adam and Eve, it's called the flesh, that always hates God. And so I have to put it to death. I have to crucify my flesh. So if you're watching this and you feel there's part of you that doesn't like God much, I think that's in all of us.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. I often feel that I don't love God much. In fact, sometimes I feel hurt by him and get angry toward him. Does this mean I am not saved?
No, you're human. And if you read the Old Testament Psalms, the Old Testament prophets and Psalms, sometimes David got mad at God. God, what are you doing up? You know, and sometimes Jeremiah and some of the prophets, Lord, why do the evil prosper? And where are you, God? So that's human, and God can handle it. So it doesn't mean you're not a believer. Yeah.
Okay. How can we love people that we can't stand? Good question.
You know, prayer. Here's what I've learned. It's called loving people by faith, loving people that I can't stand. Like, let's say, Mona, the cameras turn off and you just start yelling at me because you didn't like some answer that I gave. And as a pastor, people get upset. So you know what you do? I do. Lord, I forgive Mona for what she just did. In Jesus' strength and power, amen. Now, I'm commanded to forgive you. And it says in the Bible, when you pray according to God's command, he answers that. So God commands me to forgive you. In prayer, I forgive you. Now, maybe 10 seconds later, I'm going, rrr, 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 about Mona again. Mm-hmm. Well, I can't handle that. But I know in God's sight, I have forgiven you. The fact that you might feel bad for someone, if you've forgiven them in prayer before the Lord, you have forgiven them. And sometimes our feelings don't catch up much at all.
We know, I've heard sometimes you can love a person, but you don't have to like them.
Oh, that's true.
Is that true?
It absolutely is true. There are certain people I will never like, but I love them. I pray. What does it mean to love somebody? It means you pray for their salvation, that they come to know Christ. Yeah.
All right. Do Jews, Christians, and Muslims believe in the same God?
Jews, Muslims, and Christians believe in one God. Hindus believe in thousands of gods. Mormons believe in many gods. So it is true to say Muslim, Jews, and Christians all believe in one God. They all are Abrahamic faiths coming from Abraham. Do we believe in the same God? I don't think so. Because Mona, I believe Jesus is God. A Muslim says it's high heresy to call Jesus God. Well, somebody's right and somebody's wrong, but we can't both be right. So I believe in one God and three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jews don't believe that, unless they're Messianic Jews, Christian Jews, they believe that. But Orthodox Jews, Muslims, I don't think believe in the Trinity, which is the one true God. So I'd have to say no.
Okay.
Yeah.
If we are not married in heaven, what will we do up there?
We know we worship. If you read the last book of the Bible, Revelation, and what are they doing up in heaven? They're worshiping the Lord. And then the rest of this doesn't get real spelled out. I mean, some people say, well, we'll all have work in heaven to do. Maybe we will. I don't know a verse that would teach that, but that's possible. But what exactly, other than worship, will do for eternity in heaven? It'll be wonderful, but I'm not sure what we'll do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it okay to have dinners in the sanctuary?
Yeah. This is a person that asked this question, and they're starting to move. They have portable pews now, so now they can set up tables in the sanctuary, and they had some Valentine's dinner for the couples of the church. Is that wrong? I don't think it's wrong. When Jesus cast the money changers out of the temple, that, I think, is very different than having a dinner in the sanctuary, because these money changers were cheating people out of their money, selling, you know, lambs at exorbitant prices. So I think it's okay to have a dinner in the sanctuary. Just be reverent.
Why not,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Is there a measure of when forgiveness of sin is given automatically or when asking for forgiveness is necessary?
Okay. So do I have to ask God's forgiveness to be forgiven? And if I had to ask forgiveness for every sin I've ever committed, I won't be saved. I don't know half my sins. I forget some of them, and I forget to confess. So we're not saved by confessing every sin we've ever committed. We're saved by the cross. So when you pray the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses, that's a blanket prayer. The ones I know, the ones I don't know, the ones I remember, the ones that forgive us our trespasses. So I think there's a general forgiveness of sins. Even when I don't ask for forgiveness, if I trust in Christ, all my sins, past, present, and even future, have been paid for by the cross, so I'm saved. Having said that, we've got 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So if you're living a life where you never confess your sins, you know, you just kind of float through life and never even think about it, I think that shows you're not a believer. But when God, the Holy Spirit, puts his finger on a sin that you need to confess, then you confess. So yes, we confess our sins regularly. Some Christians are like me, I confess my sins way too much. I can't sneeze without thinking I've sinned. But other Christians rarely ask for forgiveness. Somewhere there's a happy balance.
What about if you're living with someone and you're not married? Can you ask them every day, forgive my sin, over and over? What do you think about that?
I'm going to point you to 1 Corinthians 6. Fornicators, that's sex outside of marriage, will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if somebody's watching this and you're living with your boyfriend or your girlfriend and you're not married, you need to repent and not just live in it and ask for forgiveness for it. No, you need to get out of that situation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is asking for forgiveness the only way to receive forgiveness?
Well, one big way, when we take Holy Communion,
the
blood of Christ shed for the forgiveness of your sins, that's one way God assures my heart that my sins are forgiven. Past, present, future. The ones I remember, the ones. So it's a blanket thing, like the Lord's Prayer. So that's one other way to receive the assurance that our sins are forgiven, by taking Holy Communion. Another way, the Bible says, this is James chapter 5, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So Mona, if you've done something that you need to talk to a Christian woman friend or a pastor about, you say, Pastor, you know what I did? I did this. Would you pray for God's forgiveness for me? So confess your sins to one another, James chapter 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
I agree that purgatory is not in the Bible. Neither is the Trinity or incarnation. Therefore, should you say that people cannot believe in teaching not explicitly in the Bible? Then I deduct that you also instruct the Trinity and the incarnation of Christ are false. Do you agree with this statement?
No, see, here's what he's saying. I think this is a Catholic, and he probably heard me say on TV, I don't believe in purgatory because it's not in the Bible. Well, then you don't believe in the Trinity because that's not in the Bible. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. The concept is. Okay. Well, then you don't believe in the incarnation. Well, yes, I do, because the concept of God becoming man is in the Bible. So, yeah, if purgatory was in Scripture, I'd believe it, but it ain't in there. Well, Mona, that's about the end of the program. Everybody, we want to thank you for tuning in today. We want to ask you to pray for our ministry. The way this works, when we get support and funds, we add more TV stations. When the funds dry up, we have to withdraw from TV stations. So pray for our ministry. If the Lord nudges you to give, there's on the website you can do, and you can see this show anytime at pastorstudy.org, other shows. God bless you.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.